glad to be up here with you ladies. I think this is probably the third time I've done that, and I feel like it's always a really nice time to get to be with adults for a change. I hope everyone is doing well. I've heard from some of you like my brain is going to explode, or you know, just things like that, or my coworker is crazy and or doesn't listen or things like that. So hopefully you all are doing well. And if you were here during prayer, then you know why I'm up here. Sister B and Presley and members of their family are not feeling well. There's some kind of flu. It's that time of year where the bug and the flu and the crud and everything else we can think of is going around. And unfortunately, they've caught it. And so before we leave tonight, we'll say prayer for another prayer for them, just a very directed prayer from the ladies for them. And so even though the circumstances of why I'm here aren't favorable, I'm glad that I get to be up here. And I actually was joking around with my husband a couple weeks ago, and I was telling him how different it is to be up here with you guys than it is to be down in the Point. Because when you're down with the youth group, you just get to be a kid and you get to be crazy. And I was over here trying to hear Sister Lynn, and I can hear them, and I know it's them because it's like not quite kid voices, but it's still a lot of screaming. And I'm like, okay, it's definitely a lot different. And I was telling him, I'm like, up with the ladies, like it's so serious. They take everything so seriously, where as down in the youth group, if I'm teaching, I've got to interject jokes and say their names and kind of pull them into it just to keep their attention, because their attention spans are still really short and it just keeps them locked in. Whereas it's everyone here can stay locked in because their adult brain has set in and they can focus for a longer period of time. So that'll be nice to get that tonight. So I do apologize in advance if I just make a joke, just because I'm so used to doing that. I'll try not to, though. I'll try just to stick to the message. But on that note, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get into today's message. I'm going to time myself so that I don't go over. Man. So I can hear. Yeah, I was going to say, they are having a fun time. So that new church will be really nice, huh? When we're like locked away somewhere else and you don't have to hear screaming. But we're going to move on to tonight's message. And it is not personal holiness. I saw that up there. When I was asked to speak tonight, I was just asked to speak on whatever the Lord laid on my heart. And to be honest, that was actually pretty nerve-wracking, because I was like, well, nothing has been laid on my heart. So I went to prayer, and the Lord woke me up about 5:30 this morning with this message called Forward Motion. And I think it's very appropriate for the beginning of the year, and it's something that has been a discussion in my house between me and my husband, is how we're going to move forward this year. So growing up in the country, like most of you have, I know not all of you, like my mother-in-law, she did not grow up in these hills, but most of us here have grown up in the country. And I think we all at some point have walked by, at least I have, many of ponds that had no fresh water source running through them. And you kind of see like the edges of the ponds. Yeah, you're shaking your head like, yes, I know exactly what you're going to say. The edge of the ponds are like scummy and green, and you see that buildup, and it even starts to look foamy, and you're like, where are people dumping soap in here? Where is this foam coming from? But it's just this nasty scum that's starting to gather around the edges, and there are groups of gnats and flies and toads and all these things that are just drawn to that kind of sort of gross water. And there is a not so sweet aroma that comes off of these ponds. And if you're in a 50-foot radius, you can smell the stench of the pond. And there's one word that we have for that kind of water. And it's stagnant. Everyone is shaking their head because you know stagnant water is nasty water. And so for a body of water to be defined as stagnant, according to the Oxford Dictionary, it is described as a body of water or the atmosphere of a confined space having no current or flow and often having an unpleasant smell as a consequence. And so it's a body of water, it's an atmosphere that has nothing fresh, no current going through it. It is just stale and still. And all of these nasty things kind of come out of it. And not only is it just that gross stench and you see people fishing and you're wondering, what in the world? That fish probably has three eyeballs. Why are you like even over there by that pond? But it's not only the stench and the nasty look. There's actually bacteria that can develop and build up in this water. And diseases such as E. coli can actually form in that water. And they can cause serious illnesses to those who accidentally drink it or, you know, ingest it somehow. Or even, I found this out, even if those who are handling the water do not clean up properly afterward, they can become infected by the E. coli and different bacteria. And so stagnation is not only absolutely disgusting, as we just kind of laid out, but it can also be very dangerous to your health. And sometimes, like this body of water, we in our spiritual lives can become stagnant. We can let our spiritual walk with God become a still water. It can become a still standing atmosphere with no current flow going through, with no fresh flow. Just a little while ago, not too long ago, I actually had a conversation, a very honest and open conversation with my husband. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes open and honest conversations are very hard to have because we don't want people to see those inner struggles that we have. Even the people that are closest to us, it can be hard to let them see our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And we kind of want to try to keep that to ourselves, but those open conversations are good. And so we had a very open and honest conversation, and I began to tell him, I said, babe, I feel stuck. I feel stagnant. And then there was a confirmation, the tongues and interpretation that had happened on Sunday. There were three of them, and I think it was the second one, said, you have been stagnant for too long. And I just felt that that was the Lord confirming for me what I had felt in my spirit. And I said, babe, I know that that was for me because that's how I have been feeling. And, you know, I would still pray. You know, I wasn't going back to a sinful lifestyle. I was praying, I was doing devotion, but I just had this stuck feeling. I had this, not that peaceful stillness that the Bible talks about, but a stillness that just has this buildup of just like I'm not going backward, but I don't feel like I'm moving forward. My spiritual legs felt like they had no traction. And has anyone else ever felt that way? Yeah, we're all kind of shaking our heads because we all have felt that way. And if we feel that we're in that place now, it's nothing to be ashamed of. I think there are some children that are locked out back there, if someone can open that. It's nothing to be ashamed of because we all get there from time to time. It's part of being human. It's part of trying to move forward in the flesh. But when it is revealed to us by the grace of God, because he reveals these things because he's good. And so when it's revealed to us, what we do with that information and where we go from there is what is really important. Do we stay in that place of stagnation? Or do we grit our teeth and we do the hard thing and we move forward? Because that moment when God reveals that to you, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, God is saying, okay, I see where you're at. I want you to know where you're at. And now it's up to you to either stay in this place or to keep going. And so we have to figure out, what do we do with it? Do we cry and do we wallow? That might only be me because I'm super emotional. Do we cry and do we wallow because we feel sad about where we've gotten to? We're like, how did I get into this state of mind? Or do we ignore it and say, No, Lord, I think that you're talking to the wrong person. That's not me. Maybe you're revealing that about somebody else and I just need to pray for them. Or do we repent? Do we see, okay, I'm not fine. I can't ignore this. Crying and boo-hooing is not going to get me anywhere. I can now repent and truly say to God, I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be stuck. Lord, help me move forward. And then we let God pull us up. Oftentimes we say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But I think sometimes in this stagnant state, we have to let God pull us up. We have to be willing to let him just shed those things off and pull us up and to keep us moving forward. And I think most of us in here tonight would say, anytime we're in that situation, we want to move forward. We don't want to stay that way. It doesn't feel good to feel like you're praying and all your prayers are hitting the floor. You're reading your Bible and you feel nothing. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. It feels off. And so I think most of us would say, I want to move forward in those moments. But the question then is, how do I do that? That can be very hard. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Sometimes when we become stagnant and we have all this debris in our spirits, it can be hard to look at ourselves and say, okay, I want to move forward, but God, in this moment, I really just don't know how. What have I been doing? What am I going to do to gain forward motion, to gain some traction so I can get out of this muddy pond, so I can get all of this debris that's causing me to be stuck out of my life? In James 1 and 4, it says, and let steadfastness, this is the ESV version, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Steadfastness is our key to escaping stagnation. But steadfastness cannot happen if there is no flow of his spirit, if the flow is completely wedged and blocked. If we've got so much junk clogging our spirits that God can't really flow in and out, that steadfastness is really hard to get into. A blocked spirit, one that is just full of junk. So when I say full of junk, it's full of distraction, full of things that we have let, cares of life that we have let get us down. When we take our focus off God and we're focusing on every single one of our problems, or we're tired at the end of the day and we just want to binge our favorite show and or just read our favorite book or just do something that just distracts me, that's when junk can kind of just get piled and piled and piled in. And that's when the current, that flow of God's Spirit gets blocked and we're not as steadfast as we should be. And so a blocked spirit comes when we lose or replace God as the center of our being. We all know that the Lord is supposed to be the center of our lives. He's not to be just one of our priorities on a many list of priorities, because we all have a lot of things that we have to get done every single day. He's not just supposed to be on that totem pole. He's supposed to be the absolute center, and everything else branches off from that. And so when we kind of move him out of that center, or we let him slowly be replaced by all these other things on our list, you know, it's the house, it's rent, it's a mortgage, it's my job, it's my husband, who, you know, may be great. He may be driving you nuts, but he's a husband. And, you know, and I see some laughter. Okay, so I'm not, you know, I don't want to lose you guys on that one. But sometimes it's kids, sometimes it's grandkids. And God can kind of get pushed out from being the center of our being. And when we lose him as that center, everything else tries to push its way in to be the center of our life. And it's hard for us to then pull that stuff away to let God come back to the center. But in Revelations 2:1-5, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And so all these things that the Lord is commending the church in Ephesus for, these are good things. These are things that we do. We labor for the Lord. You know, we put our hands to work for God, whatever that looks like in your life. We strive to have patience. We're not always perfect. We try to put good influences in our life. We test those who are in our life and try to make sure our circles are good. We don't like to bear, you know, wickedness. We don't like to have that in our life. But we can do all the things and still have moved God away from the center, because our relationship with God is not just about everything that we can do for him for us to earn our place in the kingdom. It's about that love connection between us and God, and that's how he stays at the center. And so God is saying to them, I see all these great things that you're doing, but you've forgotten me. You're working for the kingdom, but you've really forgotten who you're doing it for. And so sometimes that's kind of where we can get, and that's where that stagnation comes in, because we're doing all these things, but we're not feeling fulfilled because that first love is not truly being served in our life. And then we start to feel stagnant and bored and blocked up, and so we have to make sure that we are not replacing God. And so when we replace our first love, it's not just getting busy. It's not just working for the kingdom. Working for the kingdom is what we should be doing. Whatever God has asked you to do, whatever pastor has asked you to do, these are things that we should be doing. But replacing our first love, it is the daily decision to put anything before your relationship with God. And eventually this daily decision becomes a habit every day of like, well, Lord, I only have 5 minutes, and that's all I can give you, and I'm going to pray that you bless me in this day. And it all becomes about us, and I don't have time to listen to you, God. I'll read my Bible when I get a second. And so God starts to be put further and further on the back burner. And so then he does not have liberty to move freely in our lives like that fresh water current. And when his liberty to move freely in our lives is blocked, the gunk and the muck of life, the distractions, the sin, the busyness, it begins to build up. And eventually that free flow that God once had, that free flow where we could just go into his presence and just sit and just let him speak to us and move through us and get to that secret place with God, it begins to feel blocked. And then all of a sudden it feels stopped. You're stopped up and stuck. And in the kingdom of God, to truly serve him, we can't do that with a pure heart if he's not able to flow. And so we know things that we should be doing to let him flow freely, prayer and reading our Bible, and there's never too much of any of that we can do. There's never too much forward motion we can do. We can never pray enough or read our Bible enough or fast enough, but when we start to get stopped up and those things become harder, it's not an excuse to give up. And it's not an excuse to say, well, I don't feel God every time, you know, because all these things are on my mind and all these things are in my life. And I don't feel God like I used to. That's not an excuse to stop. That's not an excuse to give up and to say, well, I just can't do it anymore. It doesn't feel like it used to. Sometimes in every relationship, it doesn't always feel like it used to, but we've got to bring alignment back into our life with Christ and put him back at the center. And so in this endeavor of having forward motion and of getting back to that place where that flow is there, we aren't competing who can outpray one another. We aren't competing who's the loudest in prayer or who can pray the longest or who can fast the longest. I think if we tried to outfast each other, we might die. And some of us may not die, but we may get real crazy and, you know, try to eat our left leg. And so it probably wouldn't be good, but we're not competing with one another. We're all just trying to live and to breathe and to survive in the grace that God has given us and to build that steadfastness in our life. And it doesn't matter if you've been in the church 9 weeks or 90 years, we all come to a point at some point where, okay, I'm not as steadfast as I should be, and I've got to build that back. And the definition of steadfast is the quality of being resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. And so even when it doesn't feel like it used to, even when we get in the presence of God and it's hard, we must make up in our minds, I will be dutifully firm and unwavering in my walk with God. I will be steadfast and I will not stop moving forward. Even when God holds a mirror to my face and says, look at the gunk you have let build up. Look at this. You are stagnant. I am not going to give up. I'm not going to cry and boohoo forever. I'm not going to go backwards. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to unwaveringly pull my boots up, grit my teeth, and keep going, because I cannot allow anything to take that first place that God holds in my life. And if I've let something take that place, I'm going to remove it and I'm going to put God back there. And it may not be easy, but I'm going to do it. And so if we want this forward motion, if we want to have that steadfastness that keeps us going, that dutiful firmness, that unwaveringness that keeps us going even in hard times, we must continually pull ourselves back into alignment with God and with alignment with the assignment that he has for each and every one of us. God has an assignment for every person in this room. He has assignment for our lives, for our homes, our families, our personal relationship with him. There is an assignment that he has for each and every one of us. And he has an assignment for our church. We know that, the promise. And we're excited, but we must be in alignment in our personal lives and with the church. God has to be able to pull us back into alignment. And so all of us have to get the answer to God, what is this assignment that you have for my personal life? It for ourselves in personal prayer. We know the assignment for the church and we know we should be aligned with that. But God, I've lost sight of the alignment. I've lost sight of the assignment that you have for my life. Lord, show me, God. I put you back into your proper place in my life. And so show me, Lord, where it is you want me to go and what it is you want me to do and how it is you want me to live out my life at home and with my family and with my spouse and with my children and with my grandchildren and at work and in my personal relationship with you and what I do at the church. Lord, help me to do that. We must dig this out in prayer. And I think all of us, sometimes we just have to take an honest look. Like I said, I just did that recently. I had to take a real honest look at myself. And we have to look at ourselves and say, what do I love more than God? If I'm feeling misaligned, what do I love more than God? And I think our instinct is to say, nothing. I don't love anything more than God. That's ridiculous. How could I love anything more than God? And that honestly, I think sometimes is just guilt. We don't want to ever let that come out of our mouth. We feel wrong about that. But when he is not in his proper place, we've put something else above him, which means we've loved something else more than we've loved him. And we've let our focus go to that thing. And so can we just take an honest look at ourselves and say, what do I love more than I love God? What is keeping me from loving him the way that I should? What is keeping me from loving people the way that I should? From giving the way that I should? From reaching out to others the way that I should? From being dependable the way that I should be dependable? What is stopping the flow? What is blocking my heart? What is keeping me out of alignment? Lord, how do I measure up, not to others, but to who I was yesterday, to who I was before all this blockage came in? How do I measure up to who you've called me to be? And this is what we have to ask ourselves daily. We must take that to prayer daily. And sometimes it can be kind of an easy thing, you know, Lord, just show me, you know, and we're in the practice of doing that. We're in the practice of being steadfast. But when we're not in the practice of being steadfast, that can be a hard prayer, because when we ask it sincerely, the Lord will show us. And sometimes we don't want to give certain things away. We don't want to give certain things up, but the Lord will show us what I love more than him, what we put before him. And so this is an important thing if we want forward motion, to ask the Lord daily. And this should be a year of forward motion for all of us. The Lord has spoken multiple times through Pastor, through Brother Lucas, you know, that this is going to be a landmark year. How do you get to a landmark? Well, you have to go. You have to go forward. And so if we want this to be a landmark year in our personal lives, we have to have forward motion, which means we have to have tough, honest conversations with God. And none of us should miss out on that, because we were made for more. We were made for deep connection with God. We were not made for this stagnant pond that we get ourselves into sometimes. We don't want to let the sin and the distractions and all those rocks and sticks and mud and things that get thrown into our spiritual life to interrupt the flow and to make us feel that we don't have that deep connection with God anymore, because we were created for that deep connection. We were created for steadfastness. We were created for a flow with God. That is what we were created for. You were not made to live in disappointment or bitterness or stagnation. We were made to live deeply with God. And we were made to live to magnify God and to be edified by his spirit. And a stagnated spirit, it doesn't edify. A stagnated spirit, it doesn't edify us, it doesn't magnify the Lord, and it doesn't breed fruit. It doesn't produce fruit. A stagnated spirit breeds envy, malice, hatred, anger, and contempt. There is no fruit in stagnated spirits. If you want to check to see if you are stagnant in the moment, a good way to check is to ask God and to be honest with yourself, is the way that I'm living magnifying God? Is the way that I live edifying to my sisters in Christ? Does it edify my family? Does it edify the body of Christ? Or does the way that I'm living magnify my flesh? And does it tear down others? Does it cause my relationships to be rocky? Is the way that I'm living causing me to feel blocked up in prayer and stuck in prayer? Do I speak life to others? Do I speak life to situations? Or do I speak death? This is a way to check to see if we're stagnated, because if life is more about us than it is about Him, if our life, if we find the things coming out of our mouth is more about tearing others down, whether that's to their face or behind their back, whether that's our sister in Christ or our leadership, if we are tearing others down in our own family, in our own house, then the answer to that question is, it's a good indication that we are stagnant and we are not moving forward in Christ. When we are stagnated, we can become these frustrated, bitter, angry people, and we can take that anger out not on, you know, these things that have been thrown in, not on the enemy, but we become so frustrated and so angry that we can start taking that out on our sisters in Christ, thinking, they don't do right. I can see their life. Look at them. They're not living right. They're not doing right, without ever stopping to check the inside of us. Whereas when that flow is moving freely in our life, we are more likely, if that thought pops in, to judge somebody else, to tear someone else down, that thought will pop in. That spirit of the Lord will convict you to say, look at your own heart. Why are those words coming out of your mouth? And it will cause us to check ourselves. But when we are living in stagnation of the spirit, then we are so focused on the speck in our sister's eye, or in anyone in our family's eyes, that we don't ever stop to pull the plank out of our own eyes. And we don't try to start edifying other people. We don't try to edify the body. We don't try to magnify the Lord. We begin to edify our feelings. We begin to lift up our feelings. We begin to magnify our feelings and our thoughts. And I'll be wrapping up here soon. As much as we edify ourselves in our feelings in those times, we need to be edifying each other more. We need to be edifying our leadership more. We need to be praying for others more than we pray for ourselves. And this is speaking to me, because when I had that honest conversation of, I feel stuck, I feel stagnant, my husband challenged me and said, for the next little while, don't pray for yourself. Pray for other people. And it will change your life. We all have needs. But trust that someone else is praying for you. Trust that a friend or a loved one is praying for you. And then you pick that up and you pray for somebody else, and that will change the game. You will begin to edify your sisters. You'll begin to edify your family. Your God will begin to be magnified in your life when you start seeing miracles being bred in that person's life. And so we want to live, as I'm closing, we want fresh water and living water to be running through us. We want it to be pouring through our lives daily, because we want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control to be blooming out of us. We want God to be moving through us so that He washes out all that dirt, He washes out all that sin, washes out all that debris daily, so that the fruit of the Spirit can then begin to grow. You're not going to have very good fruit produced on a tree or on a vine if you're pouring dirty, disgusting toilet water or pond water on it. But when you've got fresh water moving through, when you are watering that garden, good fruit is going to grow. And when we let that good fruit, we let God's Spirit pour through us daily, and that good fruit begins to bloom, then that will start moving just from our lives onto others. And that kindness and that edification and that patience that sometimes is so hard to have, that patience that can be so hard to have with others, that joy that we were seeking when we were in that stagnated mind and we were like, God, where is the goodness in anything? That will start to pour out from us, and then others will begin to see that joy and they'll begin to feel uplifted. So we want to be fruitful. We want to magnify God and edify the body to be all the things that God has called us to be. And so when we go back to our opening scripture in James 4:1, and let steadfastness have its full effect. That is the full effect of steadfastness. When we are steadfast in our prayers, God begins, that current begins to move again. And that stagnated water, that foam and that slime and that those gnats and disgusting toads and all those things begin to be washed out. Day after day, washed out until it's a free flow going through your life, and that steadfastness, the full effect starts taking place, and we begin to seek, not that we'll ever be perfect, but we begin to seek the perfection of Christ, to be complete in His Spirit, to be lacking in nothing, to be full of the fruit of the Spirit and pouring that out to others. Steadfastness is how that junk clears out. And so daily, intentional steadfasting, daily, intentional, just asking the Lord, search my heart, God, what is there in me that doesn't please you today? What can be removed today? That is how we will live a life of victory. That is how we will live a life in the flow of what God has for us. And so I know that we have just probably about 10 more minutes, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to close out in prayer, and we're going to pray some specific prayers. And then afterward, we'll stop and then we'll pray for Pastor and Sister B and their family. But let's go ahead and let's pray in the vein of this, in the vein of just getting back in the flow and having that forward motion in our lives going into this year, having that forward thinking that, God, I'm not going to stay stuck. I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to keep going even when it's hard, and I'm going to make way for your Spirit to flow. We're going to pray specific prayers. So I'm going to stand up with you. So let's stand up together, and we're going to pray together tonight. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity that we had to come and to be in your presence, God. We thank you for the opportunity, O Lord, Jesus, to be with our sisters in Christ, O God, to feel your Spirit, Lord, in prayer. And Jesus, we ask, God, Lord, that you would see us where we are, Lord. You know the thoughts and intents of our heart, God. You know the numbers of hairs on our head. You know us better than anybody, Jesus. So we ask, God, that you search our hearts, search our thoughts, Lord Jesus. If there is any wicked way in us, if there's any stagnation, if there's anything, God, that has not been pleasing you, Lord, if there's anything that's been blocking the flow, the free flow of your Spirit, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would remove those things right now. God, we repent, Lord. We repent of anything that we have placed above you, anything that has blocked the flow of your Spirit, Lord Jesus. We repent of that, God, and we ask that you come and be the center of our being, the center of our life, so that your flow, the flow of your Spirit, can go through our lives every day, can move through us daily, Lord Jesus. God, and we ask, Lord God, that you, Lord, that your flow would be in our homes, that it would be in our church, Lord Jesus, that it would be in our relationships, that it would go with us to work, Lord Jesus, and that as you begin to work on our hearts, and as you begin to let those fruits of the Spirit blossom in our lives, God, that we would take that with us and pour it out to others, God, as we begin to live in the overflow, Jesus, that you would begin to pour that out to others, Lord. Lord Jesus, everyone that we come in contact with, Lord. God, we pray that as you give us a pure heart and a right spirit, Lord Jesus, that that purity, oh Lord God, that that right spirit, Lord, would affect those around us, that others would feel the love and the joy and the peace that we feel in you, Jesus, that kindness would overflow from us, God, that patience would overflow from us, that goodness would overflow from us, Lord. And we pray that this day and every day, Lord God, search our hearts, Lord Jesus. Make us right with you, Lord. Hallelujah. We lift you up and we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. We thank you, oh God, for this new year, Jesus, for it being a landmark year, a year of victory, Lord God, a year of victory in our church and in our personal lives, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just give him praise right now. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are so good. You are so worthy, Jesus. And we praise you, oh Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And right now, we're just going to pray, Lord, for those who are sick. We're going to take some time. We're going to pray for Sister B and for Presley and for the heart souls. They're sick as well. And we pray that the sickness would stop there. And if there's anyone else that was missing tonight that is dealing with sickness of the body, that the Lord would touch them. Jesus, we pray, Lord God, with the power of your spirit, Jesus, that you would touch Sister B right now, that you would touch Presley right now, God, that you would heal their bodies, Jesus, that you, Lord, would stop, God, this sickness, Jesus, and remove it from their bodies, remove it from their home. We pray for the heart souls, Lord Jesus, God, that the sickness would be removed from their bodies, Lord, and that anyone else, God, in our church that was missing due to sickness, Jesus, that a healing power would begin to flow through them, Lord God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, full restoration of the body would take place in them right now, Lord, that they, God, would awake and feel whole and refreshed, Jesus, that they would feel alive, God, in their bodies and in their spirits. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the healing power that is in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you would bless each and every one of us, oh Lord, as we drive home tonight. Lord, bless us, keep us safe, and keep our family safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.